League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Ready?
Yeah. Hello, welcome to episode 11 of the Tottenham Way podcast with Dan Kilpatrick and Tom Hayward. Dan,
hello, mate.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm suffering from a two-day hangover, if truth be told.
Wow.
Saturday, I mean, I'm not a rugby person, but I did a bit of a pre-rugby game session before the England match.
I didn't even realise there wasn't it. Oh, yes.
England lost to Australia. You must have seen this. I was so pissed by the time of the game, I don't really remember it happening.
That sounds preferable.
Yeah. But everyone, I was in Putney, so everyone in the pub I was with was tremendously disappointed.
Yeah.
And I was finding it all quite funny.
I can imagine. You only ran the corner from Putney as well, so you had like a roll home.
Oh yeah, I staggered down the road.
That's always positive. Mm. So did you sleep through Swansea? Or?
No, I haven't watched it, which I just told you. No, I had work. I had a shift for Goal. I was doing the live blog of Man United Arsenal, which was obviously on at the same time.
Yeah.
So I've only seen extended highlights,
which
I basically mean the goals and Hugo's save.
Yeah. I actually watched Man United Arsenal was on big telly, and I had the Tottenham game on a stream on my laptop, and it's really disconcerting to have both on. Like it's quite a bizarre experience because your eye is drawn to the better picture and the bigger picture and stuff. So I'm watching it and I'm obviously wanting Arsenal to lose. And if you sort of lose track of yourself and go to the wrong game or look at the wrong game, you find yourself oddly like kicking balls and it's really weird. It's horrible. I don't know how the guys at like BBC do it and stuff.
It was a horrible feeling. Since I've started doing this live blogging job, I have had to work, I have done that where I've set up like a few screens, like the iPad. I couldn't get a Spurs stream working, and I just sort of gave up. But it was not watching it. It's probably the first time in about 2 years I haven't watched a Spurs game.
Okay.
With the exception of that random Burnley FA Cup game, it
wasn't where
literally no one could watch it. I think with the exception of that, which was a was it an FA Cup replay or were both games not televised? I can't remember.
Both games weren't televised.
But I don't think I felt quite strongly about that as I did about this game.
Yeah.
And it was horrible not watching it.
I found a pretty decent stream in the end, I think.
But I meant more the feeling of not knowing what was going on, not knowing if Spurs were on top, just getting the goal updates on like my iPad from BBC Sports.
Yeah.
I felt like I was back to refreshing 303 on CFAX.
Great days.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done that for a long time. It's not fun. It's not fun.
No, but there's a certain novelty in it. Like the other day, I can't remember when it was, apart from the Tottenham game, I think I was out and I was getting updates.
Mm.
I watched a match of the day without knowing any result, apart from Spurs.
How is that possible in this day and age?
I was out all day. I think I was at the park or something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing of note really happened. So like my mate worked saying... Saturday I got a text saying LOL at Chelsea sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's a template now. You've seen the goals.
And obviously I've been on Twitter and stuff and seen what seems to be the general reaction to the game.
Let's get down to it really. I mean, the main points that I took from it certainly, or the main point was, you know, we now gone 7 unbeaten since the start of the season, which includes obviously includes City at home. You know, there's some decent games in there that you'd be expecting us to sort of drop points in. But it's only United away that we've lost so far. And I think that Swansea was the only time this season that we've gone a goal down first. We've conceded the first goal. And in fact, we were behind twice, weren't we? It's the only time apart from United that we've been
really
a goal down. I think so. I think that's...
That sounds about right.
Oh, no, sorry, City as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, that sort of emphasises the point then. Is there a, do you feel like there's a bigger, sort of a stronger mentality to what should really be a weaker mentality in the squad? It's a young team, isn't it?
Well, I think we talked about it last week, so let's not go over it again. But Dyer's comments after the Man City game, I think, said a lot about the mentality in the squad right now. They clearly... There's a kind of... Yeah, I wouldn't go so far to say it's sort of us against the world mentality, but it's certainly we've been written off for being a young squad, for being an inexperienced squad, and we're out to prove people wrong.
Yeah.
So I think there is quite a strong mindset in the group. And this Premier League, I mean, it is so unpredictable.
It's an arse, isn't it? It's an absolute arse.
I mean, and the fact that we've gone 7 games unbeaten is actually really impressive.
Yeah.
Given that Man United, Chelsea, Man City are all getting spanked out of the blue, and Arsenal, it's not really easy to call any of the big games right now.
No.
So I think it's really impressive, and particularly given the fact that the day after the transfer window, we were rightly saying there's some major holes in this squad that are going to get exposed at some point.
Mm.
But it hasn't really happened yet.
Yeah, not so far. I think towards the end of the game, Kane was taken off, I think, about 10 minutes to go or so.
Mm.
And we changed it round, and in the end, I think it ended up with Ndiaye being up front.
Christ.
Yeah, it was. He had another shot.
I'm not sure what to make of him at all.
I like him because
he's done 2 shots.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, they've gone out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
And one against Swansea.
Yeah.
And one when he came on against Arsenal, which doesn't bode.
But one with either foot
well.
As well. So he's really mixing it up.
Yeah.
That
moment against City was kind of sublime.
Yeah.
When he's,
I think he's raw, isn't he? He's 21 and cost us what, 11 odd million pound, and it just feels like, I think Harry said it last week, he's raw and he's going to take time. I mean, Harry did say that he thinks he's going to go on loan if we were to get maybe a striker in January. I don't see that happening, but
yeah,
who knows? It depends what the cover's like, doesn't it, really?
wait till Harry's not here to disagree with it.
Yeah,
mate.
That's the coward's
nonsense.
Way. Yeah. but it's we seem to have a bit of steel to us now. I think even what was quite pleasing for me as well was that Lamella was he was quiet.
How was Lamella? Because when I didn't watch the game, when I saw he was taken off for Townsend, my heart kind of sank because it was about 55 minutes.
Potch normally waits
a bit longer than that to make a change. And I was like, oh. And I hadn't seen much on Twitter at this point, and I was just worried that he might have had a stinker after all that.
No, certainly not a stinker. I think he was ineffective.
He's played a lot of matches recently.
He has.
So
he played against Monaco as well. Of course, he scored, didn't he?
Yeah, he was actually taken off before. I think it was the first sub against Monaco, and the first sub.
Well, he works as hard as anyone else, I think, as well. Mm. And I think that Pochettino is clearly looking at protecting some players. But you know, we've touched on it. We said there were holes in the squad, and I think one of the holes is that strength in depth. If we can't, we've picked up a couple of injuries. Son's injured. Pritchard's not come back. And suddenly it looks like, sort of, if we have another injury somewhere, we're quite imbalanced and it is quite thin.
Yeah.
As it's shown, you know, Bentaleb, Mason, Ericsson was out for a while, and that last season was our first choice midfield. I know things have changed quite dramatically, but it does feel like we're a little bit thin still. So I think he's protecting people like Lamella and Kane. When, say, Kane came off with 10 minutes to go, I feel like Ndiaye sort of does his running for him in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, I think.
And I think it was maybe just a bit of protection. Kane wasn't. It, second half, he had nothing, absolutely nothing to go on.
What? No, as in he? As in he was given no service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he had a chance really early on where he took a touch, and I don't know how deliberate it was, but he took a touch and it was like a cushion touch between the legs of the defender, and then Fabianski was really quick off his line and sort of smothered it. But it was a good chance, and he engineered it all himself. Apart from that, there was just nothing.
Okay.
I thought he had a good chance in the first half as well. He was through on goal just after his own goal, and it was a left foot shot, and he sort of went straight into the body of the keeper. It was one of those that last year would have bounced off the keeper's legs and gone into the roof of the net.
Yeah,
and I think that's just the difference this season. Just seems to be that little bit of luck for him. Certainly didn't play badly by any stretch, but but Eriksen did score. It feels like he's back a little bit.
Well, how did he play apart from? I don't want to just keep asking you questions about the game.
No, go
overall,
ahead.
How did he play apart from?
He was really good, actually. He was. He could have had a hat trick comfortably. He had a couple of shots from outside the area. One of them was really similar to. Do you remember the winner he scored against Hull last season? We kind of brought it, let it run across his body. Or took a touch and it ran across and he hit it across the keeper.
Oh yeah,
minute.
That was last minute, yeah.
Yeah.
He had a shot like that. Swansea and was it Southampton winners all kind of merged into one. He scored very similar.
Yeah, he did actually.
Where he just kind of straight them into the bottom corner.
Yeah. He was unlucky. He could have had another couple from that,
I wouldn't have said I was getting worried about Eriksen, but he from March onwards last season, he was pretty ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost the same as Bentaleb, really. He sort of got an injury at the start of the season at a really bad time.
Yeah.
It's never a good time to get an injury, unless it's, just before the international break, you could argue that Son's injuries come at quite a good time.
Yeah.
But they both seem to get injuries when it was just after, I think, the transfer window had shut and we finally got all the players we needed in place, or at least some of the players we needed in place. And they both got injured for, 3 or 4 weeks, and Bentaleb's still not back. And I just thought it might be a bit tricky for them to get going this season.
Yeah.
To sort of get up to speed with what Pochettino wants and fit in with the new players. So
there's plenty of games, though.
Yeah, there's plenty of games, but the fact that Eriksen did that on Sunday sort of pleased me, because I think it shows that if Eriksen performs for the whole of this season as he did for the first half of last season, then he's going to be right up there in terms of Premier League Team of the Year, I think.
Yeah.
He's going to score 10 plus goals and he should get 10 plus assists.
Yeah.
Last season, because there was no alternative, he was run into the ground. I think he ran more than any other player last year.
And that was interesting at the time. It was interesting because people were starting to say that they didn't really see what he did. It was just like a really common thing for people to say about him. But I've said that about like Dembele and people like that.
Yeah.
But with Eriksen, it was like
with Dembele, it's understandable.
Yeah.
It's hard to know what
I think
he does.
With Eriksen, people had this thing of he's supposed to be this flair, creative player. But we're not seeing it that often, and it just completely disregarded the work rate that he's got.
I think that might be one of the problems, though. I'm not sure Eriksen is. I think he's almost more of a goal-scoring midfielder than he is.
Do you think he's more Van der Vaart?
Yeah, I kind of do think
he's not as explosive, is he? But he's got it in him.
I think there's because of the way he plays and the way he keeps Spurs ticking over. There's kind of this perception that he's maybe a sort of Ozil type player, a sort of assist machine, or someone who assists to his sister and is always sort of putting it on a plate for strikers. But like you said, it sounds like against Swansea he was quite happy to shoot. It's not as if he's afraid to have a go. And I think while he's in the Premier League, he'll always score more goals than he'll assist.
Yeah, I think he got quite a low amount of assists last season.
He was quite unlucky last season. I think he only got one.
But the amount
of chances that he put on a plate.
Let's remember who our strikers were until November.
He's already got two this year, so he's already doing better. But I'm still pretty confident he'll score more goals than he creates.
Yeah.
And that tells me that he's more of a... I mean, I know that's a really simplistic way of looking at it, but I feel like he's more of a goal-scoring 10 than he is a kind of... You know what I mean?
I think Lamella's turning into more of that creator. For all we've sort of dug him out, certainly in weeks previous to last week's pod, you know, the stats were always there. Like against Leicester, he created 5 chances more than any other player certainly in the game, maybe in something like in every game on that Saturday or something. It's just stuff that you really don't see, or you...
Yeah, he's just, the king of the key pass, isn't he?
Yeah, it seems like it. So it seems as though maybe we are sort of playing it like that. Maybe Eriksen is going to be a bit more advanced.
One thing from the Swansea game that I saw a lot of on Twitter was people saying that Kane and Lamella were swapping. Like, Lamella was going... Did you notice this at all? Like, Lamella was at 9 at some points, and Kane was kind of dropping deep and picking the ball up at 10.
I have to admit, I wouldn't say it was kind of stark, or maybe it was and I just missed it, but I didn't see that. Kane comes deep anyway. He seems to... And I think that Chadli was moved around a bit, particularly when Montero was taking Walker to pieces a couple of times. I think Walker did okay, but he needed help desperately, and I think that's why Chadli was moved over to the right for a little while.
But three are always... whole idea, and you can see it a lot more this season, I think, is that they are all fluid.
Yeah. But Eriksen was always quite central to that. I didn't notice Kane and Lamella swap it. I might have been wrong. There was a couple of times, there was one occasion in particular where Lamella had Ashley Williams one-on-one, and it was it was really good defending, actually, because Williams basically just backed off him and gave him 10 yards until he got to the edge of the penalty area, and eventually the Swansea defence sort of caught up, but it was definitely one-on-one for a moment. And I think Williams knew that all he wanted to do was take him on the inside and get a shot away. Yeah. So he gave him acres of space to Williams' left-hand side, showed him pretty much the corner flag and nothing else. And Lamella didn't really attack the space.
Well, sounds like the opposite of what Otamendi did the week before, where he kind of dived in and Lamella just dinked it around him.
Yes, basically. Williams actually, I thought, had quite a good game.
He's a good defender, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the reason I wasn't surprised by hearing this stuff on Twitter was because against City, I thought it was remarkable the amount of times... It's partly just because of his work rate, but it was remarkable the amount of times Lamella got into the box at the number 9 position ahead of Kane and ahead of anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, his goal was just one example of that, of him being the furthest forward Spurs player.
Yeah.
And that was obviously a move that he started, or he was involved in at right back, which is the same against Monaco as well. Starting with Lamella at right back, ended with Lamella the furthest forward Tottenham player. And he's just doing it. Like, I didn't watch this Swansea game, but in those games he's just showed this unbelievable willingness to get in the box no matter where he is on the pitch when we're attacking. And that's going to result in goals.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think he had a chance to do that too often against Swansea.
Wait, are we supposed to be talking about Monaco?
I was going to bring it in with the whole... We sort of did it last time with the Carabao game, is that a lot of what happens on that Thursday does influence the Sunday. So
what about the lineup?
Well, the only changes were the fullbacks.
Yeah. Were you happy with that?
Rose got quite a nasty injury against Monaco, didn't he?
When you saw the Monaco team, what were you thinking?
I'm perfectly happy for us to go for it. It's the shift in expectations this season, which is quite refreshing for us. And I think Europa League still gets... You only have to look at the crowds at White Hart Lane for the home games to see that Europa League is still far down on pretty much everyone's list that they want to go and watch.
Yeah.
But, well, we're looking at Monaco away as well. Do you remember those old Sabutio stands where you could get the crowds?
Yeah. Why?
And they never filled the stadium.
Why don't they have any supporters?
I don't know.
They've got quite a lot of good, exciting players.
It's like a Wigan sort of scenario. Okay. I think it's just not that sort of town.
Tax dodgers on their yachts.
Basically,
can't be fucked, good.
No, of course.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it was... I only watched the second half of the Monaco game, actually. And I think by then we were inviting quite a lot of pressure. And it was a shame to see us lose the lead, but there was certainly enough time for Monaco to win that game, and I think we held pretty
Yeah. I mean, what I would say though, now that the Swansea game is the kind of last game, almost in my head, Monaco's sort of drifted into obscurity a little bit. But the team did puzzle me. I mean, I can understand. I like the fact that Pochettino has said the Europa League and the Premier League, I'm not going to prioritise one or the other, because he said that. He said, I'm not going to choose, they're both really important. But it felt like with the Arsenal lineup and with the Carabag lineup, there was a clear statement that the Premier League is still Tottenham's priority.
Yeah.
And then we go into a Europa League away game with what's essentially our Premier League team. And I'm not saying I disagree with that, but it is sort of a little bit difficult to work out Pochettino. I mean, the Anderlecht game is probably as difficult as the Monaco game.
Yeah, certainly.
So is he going to play our strongest team against Monaco in the home leg and both legs against Anderlecht?
Yeah, somebody said...
That's a lot of games for that first 11.
Yeah,
that's
I think the commentator said that you had to average something like 11 points to go through in the Europa League group stage. Like on the average for that was something like 11.7 points or something like that.
Yeah.
So I just wonder if he's kind of doing it as a race to the finish line.
So win as many of the first four or five matches.
Yeah,
as you can.
And if we win the first four matches, I know we haven't, but you've got to look at Carabag as being hopefully a banker. It's not, you know, there is no easy game and all that, but you'd have to. We should be beating them.
You know who their stadium's named after?
No, go on.
The Russian linesman who Jeff Erskine.
They're not even Russian, are they? Or were they part of Russia?
He was Azerbaijani.
Ah,
but
okay.
He's just known as the Russian linesman.
Wow. Legend.
Yeah, that's your fun,
that's a great
fact of the day.
That is a great fact.
I'm sorry, mate.
You should try and bring one. You should try and bring one every podcast.
Okay, I'm going to make that little feature.
Fun
I'll
fact.
Do my best.
Dan's fact of the day. I don't even remember what I was going to say, to be perfectly honest.
Sort of blitzing the first four matches and then...
Yeah, I think it might be this race to the finish thing that... I don't know. I think that at the moment Pochettino is probably trying to bed in a system with sort of 13, 14 players, which we said he did last season, but at the moment he's got a small pool that he could trust sort of as an entirety. He's not throwing in Paulinho and Capu and Soldado like he did in the Europa League last season.
Yeah.
Although it may have been to the benefit of the league form, because in the end, you know, the real players that he wanted to work with and wanted to see play were playing and became our first team. But
did you read the Tom Colomossi report in the Standard today?
No, don't think so.
I just saw it online, and he was basically saying, it may have been yesterday actually, but he said Spurs' small squad pool is actually advantageous this year because Pochettino knows his best team, and I kind of disagreed with it actually. And he was arguing that Spurs basically have a first 13 or 14, which is what you said, but I think I'm not sure we do anymore. I think that's changed from... I think last season we really did. We had 13 or 14 players Pochettino trusted, and that was it. And he was so reluctant to play Stambouli, even when there was compelling evidence that Mason was knackered. And he was so reluctant to drop Kane and give Soldado a run. And we don't know why. But this year, I think we've got that 13. But I imagine Pritchard will probably be part of it.
Yeah, you'd imagine.
Dembele looks way more involved already. Yeah. Bentaleb will be part of it.
Look at the squad ladder that I do monthly, I would say the latest one, now the squad's settled, the latest one, I would say everything up to number 20 is a legitimate claim for a first team place.
Yeah, that's going online. By the time the podcast's online, that should be up.
Okay.
It's a good piece. We've got Tom ranks every Spurs player in order of importance once a month, and it is interesting to see how it changes.
Yeah, and it's so only my mind at the end of the day.
It's not definitive.
So it's interesting.
Kane's lost top spot this month.
He has lost top spot.
No spoilers, but
no.
You have to check it out.
That's
to
it.
Find
that's
out.
Your little teaser. But no, certainly the top 20 would be. I'd certainly trust every single one of those to step in at some point. If there was an injury, you know, you look at the likes of Trippier and Pritchard and Vimmer.
And I mean, and Rose.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
And Bentaleb. These were our two. Behind Kane, Rose and Bentaleb were our two best players last season.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about them as subs.
Yeah.
Which is.
Well, that's the form.
We wouldn't have thought that. Well, that would have been inconceivable before the Man United game.
Yeah.
To be sitting here a couple of months in and saying, well, Davis and Ali are ahead of them.
Yeah. Well, we'll go on to Dyer soon, but he did pick up his sixth yellow.
Fifth
yellow, of the season. He's going to be suspended for Liverpool. We'll go on to it in a bit, but it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Annoyingly huge.
Well, given everything else as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go on to it. Yeah. One thing that I did want to talk about, and we did touch on it, the Europa League and the league form going sort of hand in hand. We've drawn one now with Swansea and we beat Palace, both directly after the Europa League game. So this hangover that the media like to say, which was certainly evident last season and probably, well, it's been evident for a few seasons, hasn't it, at Spurs? They have done a...
Yeah.
Statistically, we are worse. We lose more games and we certainly don't win as many games after Europa League fixtures. But do you feel like Pochettino is turning that round, or is this a sign of things to come, or, you know, have we just drawn and won a game after Europa League?
Well, I suppose we can only go on what's happened so far, and it looks like we haven't lost one yet. I do feel like it's a bit of a, when people point to the Newcastle and West Brom games,
and Stoke
at the beginning of last season, it's worth pointing out that those were games when Kapu and Ali Boyol were still the spine of the team. So and they would ditch, I think, after that Stoke game. For the rest of the season. So obviously those losses were with a team that Pochettino felt he couldn't really trust and felt obviously wasn't doing what he wanted it to do. So you could make the case that I don't have the numbers in front of me for the rest of the season post-Europe, the rest of the games post-Europe last season, but I imagine, I think we did okay, didn't we?
I think the only
it was a bit up
won,
and down.
We beat Southampton after Europa League game, and that was seen as a stepping stone and things like that.
But yeah, it looks like it's improving. I mean, really,
do you think it was a mental block or a physical block? Because you have to take into account that we were at home on one of the games this season, and we only had to go to Monaco for the other.
Well, that's what I was going to come on to is it's obviously people say it's no different from a Champions League Wednesday to Saturday, but the vast majority of Champions League games are in Western Europe.
Yeah,
you know, you generally are playing teams from France or Portugal or
Spain,
Germany, and it's an hour and a half flight. A higher percentage of Europa League games seem to be in far flung places like Ukraine and Azerbaijan and what have you, and obviously flying there a couple of days before a game is going to take its toll. So I think you're right, there was probably a mental issue as well. When you hear it enough times, Spurs struggle after Europa League games, it's not going to do any good, is it?
No, certainly. Maybe there isn't anything to be said, but it's certainly something that people pick up on when there's a negative to be said about it.
Yeah, I mean, the test would be Carabao, because I think that's a 4.5-hour flight.
Yeah, but this is what I mean about getting it over and done with early, because I think that might be our last game.
Oh, okay.
If not, it's the fifth.
Well, that might be Pochettino's thinking, because if we've only got to travel to Anderlecht now before that game, which is a couple of hours flight, if that.
Mm.
So, no, let it, Belgium, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be nothing. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's actually a really good point. Maybe the strong team against Monaco is part of a concerted strategy to not have to take anyone important on that game.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
It'd be some nice forward thinking as well. I think that AVB had that idea. He tried to do that, but he ended up playing a really strong team in every single game that we played. And do you remember Fulham after Inter Milan?
Oh, yeah.
We went to Inter and lost 4-1, but we went
through.
We lose
1-0 at home.
No, we beat them on over two legs.
Fulham.
Berbatov with a counter-attack goal of all things. You know, that if that didn't sum it up, I don't know what would. But okay, let's move on to the Liverpool preview. We've got the international break, which I'm quite grateful for. I feel a little bit football weary, and I don't really care about England. I don't care about England at all.
I think it's probably come at quite a good time, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that Dyer's out, and that's such a big blow. But I think Son, again, I didn't watch Swansea, but from what I've read and what I've heard, it sounds like having Chadli against Swansea as a replacement for Son massively sort of restricted our the lovely counter-attacking and free-flowing forward stuff we saw against City.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll be back. I mean, who would you play? What would you do to combat the loss of Dyer? Bentaleb, I wouldn't have thought would be fit.
I don't think he will.
If he is,
Pochettino doesn't rush players back.
Dembele is.
Yeah, Dembele.
I reckon Mason will be available, but again, he's now missed what, 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, and also I just don't think he's going to be a sensible choice. Maybe. I think it's going to be Dembele. I think it'll be a midfield of Dembele and Ali.
But Dembele's never played there.
No, neither had Dyer. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Dembele's going to be any good at it, but I'm just saying that...
Well, no, I mean, Dembele has played there, but one of the most striking things about Pochettino's treatment of Dembele is his reluctance to ever put him in the double pivot, just defence midfield.
Yeah.
Which was probably where he had his best run of form for Spurs under AVB next to Sandro.
Yeah.
But he was used by Pochettino last season to sort of come on in that role occasionally just to keep the ball if we were winning, try and close out the game. But whenever he started...
He was a night watchman, wasn't he?
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. But whenever he started, it's been like a 10 or on the right wing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying it won't happen, but it would take Pochettino... He would know he was desperate.
Yeah, if Bentaleb, you know, Dyer's suspended with nothing we can do about it. Bentaleb, if we're going to risk him, then we don't just sort of risk the game itself, but we could risk Bentaleb being out for a little bit longer. What is the actual injury that he's got?
I'm not sure. I think it's an ankle injury.
I don't know. I mean, what would you do? Because people are talking about you know, how Alderweireld played there and stuff, and I just don't think we should be breaking up partnership.
I mean, interestingly, wasn't the Liverpool spanking under AVB where we had to do the opposite and it was Capoue at centre-half?
It was Capoue, Dawson and Zeki Friars and Carl Norton. I think. I might be wrong.
That was our back four?
I think so.
No wonder we got spanked.
Yeah, it's not a mystery, is it?
I'd probably play Dembele in there. Or if Son wasn't fit, I might put Ali into the three.
Right.
So Ali, Eriksen and Lamella behind Kane.
Okay.
And then I'll play either Mason or Bentaleb, whoever was up.
Okay.
Whoever was up most up to speed beside Dembele. Then you've got Ali, who's been doing that job really well in the last few games, who can sort of tuck back in if needed, you sort of mean? So
yeah, it's tough. Dyer's done so well this season that...
I mean, it's incredible that we're talking about him like this.
Yeah.
But it's
the way it is.
It's the way it is, yeah.
You know, he's and he was good against Swansea, and it wasn't a yellow card as well. That's the another.
Oh really? Put it this way,
he was going to get his fifth at some point in the next couple of weeks because it's just the sort of player that he is. He's not. I certainly don't think he's clumsy or anything, but he's just combative, and he will put his foot in, and eventually he's going to get it wrong, and he would have got it. It's just a shame that of all clubs, of all teams, to be missing a really key player against, it's a team that we have royally, we've been stuffed, haven't we? Probably four out of the last five times we've played them.
Yeah, but then the same is true of City, so...
It is true, but then, you know, Dyer was one of the men in the match in that. It's going to be really difficult, and I don't think it matters who they get in, really. If you lose one of your best players in any game, or for any game, you're going to certainly struggle.
I still think Liverpool, I mean, the new manager thing is bad timing for Spurs, because whatever anyone says, it players always respond to that.
Yeah.
They have to, so it's gonna be. I mean, there's almost not much point in doing a big preview now, but it's gonna be a really tough game, and those two factors combined, the kind of lack of Dyer and their new boss, I think is gonna make it a lot harder than it would have been had Rodgers still been there.
Yeah. Some interesting.
But, I mean, I still, you know, they can't. Their players aren't changing.
No,
as well,
true.
As manager, well, I still think they're there for the take.
That's the other handy thing to think about, is that the international break might come in handy for this as well. Because when you think of a new manager's got to come into that team and not have all of his players around for the first week of it. Well, that's to say if they employed someone now. If say they employ somebody in...
I mean, yeah, he's not going to have time to work with them in training. But I mean, the new manager thing is almost like, even if he's appointed the day of the game and he's sitting in the stand and not picking the team, it still feels like you often get a...
You often get
that extra yard or whatever you want to call it from players. I suppose their future's now on the line.
Yeah, it depends on whether you've got underperforming players or just really shit players, and I think that Liverpool have got both.
Yeah, I think they've got both as well.
Yeah. I think it'd be a good game, but some interesting... I mean, I'd quite like to talk about Liverpool because I hate them.
I hate them.
I hate them probably...
Don't say it.
They're third, put it that way.
Yeah, I think, they're third.
I hate them so much. And I hate the way that Spurs are talked about in the media in contrast to how Liverpool are talked about in the media, because it's ludicrous, their coverage, and how they are considered top four contenders nearly every single season. Whereas we are sort of widely just cast aside as... Which is fair enough. I'm totally okay with being told that we are going to finish anywhere between fifth and eighth, because we are. But don't come to me don't give me Phil Thompson telling me about how incredible Liverpool's transformation is since the Dalglish era and all this for one season finishing above us. Because statistically, they have been worse than us for six out of the last 7 years? Fact.
Yeah. Well, should we do... I mean, this...
Yeah.
This is the Carragher quote.
Well, Carragher... But I think... Yeah, okay. Well, Carragher said that Liverpool were in danger of turning into Tottenham. As if that hasn't already happened, you cheeky bastard.
Well, as if that would be a bad thing for them, as you said. If they turned into Tottenham, they'd finish a place higher.
Exactly. More for you. It wasn't designed to wind us up either.
It wasn't designed. I think the Carragher quotes, they've been all over Twitter and everywhere today. You probably would have seen the Omri Carragher reaction vine as well, which is quite funny. But I think that just goes to show that it did literally happen live on air. He probably hadn't really thought about those comments. I am defending him actually. Probably hadn't really thought about those comments, but if he'd have had time to think about it, he'd probably know that it was a stupid thing to say.
But does that not maybe show just how Liverpool people that are?
I think it does.
Liverpool
swayed
in the media.
That's a great point. It shows their ingrained bias.
Yes, absolutely.
It's sort of just this subconscious acceptance that Liverpool are a class above Spurs, which is obviously nonsense.
Yeah.
Spurs are in a weird position because we actually can't match Liverpool when it comes to wages and transfer fees.
Yeah.
So we are behind them in that respect, but we've consistently finished above them.
Mm.
And that, to me, is... Well, that's a credit to everyone at Spurs, including Levy. But it... I'm not sure where I'm going with this. It says to me that Spurs have kind of overachieved and Liverpool have underachieved. But we're, broadly speaking, pretty similar.
But can you... Yeah, perhaps, but I think that you can say
that...
I meant that just in terms of
if you spend the fifth amount of money on wages, you should finish fifth. And Spurs spend the sixth amount and normally finish...
Okay, yeah, no, that's right. Because I was going to say in sort of response is that you can... Of course, that's entirely fair enough to say, but you can't say it's overachievement and underachievement if you've done it for the best part of a decade. That's just purely us being better than them for longer than they've been better than us for the last sort of 10 years. Not entirely, but I see your point with the wages. We couldn't pay James Milner, and we wouldn't pay James Milner 150 odd grand a week. We just wouldn't do it. It's not in our remit, and it would never have happened. I think that it probably wasn't even entertained in the summer, even if we did make an approach to him. It was the fact that he didn't say it as a... It wasn't like Henri was saying it, or even Jamie Redknapp now. It wasn't like they were saying it to... Because, you know, there's people in the media that seem to release pieces of work purely to piss us off. Like Neil Ashton did it.
Oh, yeah,
a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And but it wasn't that. It was genuinely... It was an instinct to say it. Almost.
Yeah, I think that is an important point.
They just can't take it.
When you're reacting to punditry and journalism, it's something I always try and do on the blog. When I mean, not particularly well, but it's something I always think about, like who wrote this article?
Yeah.
Why might they be writing it? And people have loyalties, just like. Pundits and journos have loyalties just like fans.
Yeah.
And I think Carragher's probably quite worried about the idea of Liverpool being below Tottenham. And it's something he probably can't really accept. Because when he was a Liverpool player, they were winning the Champions League and they were consistently finishing the top four. And Spurs were scrabbling around mid-table. And just as he was tiring, we were sort of retiring.
Yeah.
We were sort of on the way up and leapfrogging them.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's probably quite an unpleasant... realisation for him.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Fucking good.
You as well, I was going to bring up, you know, with Rodgers going, Rodgers and ABB took over Tottenham and Liverpool at the same time, didn't they? It was the end of 2012.
Yeah, because didn't we approach Rodgers?
I believe
so. So he claims.
It wouldn't have surprised me if each club approached each manager at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
We ended up with ABB, and I think ABB was... He got some backs up, didn't he? He wasn't popular from his time at Chelsea already. So he was already fighting a bit of a losing battle with the media. But if you look at... I mean, obviously Rodgers is quite widely mocked on Twitter and things like that, but it never felt like in the press he was necessarily a figure of fun. It was all very much... This is very disappointing. You know, he was a very promising manager. He had a lot of money. This is very disappointing. With AVB, it felt as if you are a complete moron. You don't know what you're doing. Mm. You're cracking. Do you remember when he did the We Is Us thing?
I think it was after
City. And he said, and it was this, the question was something, who do you mean we? Well, us. We is us. That's literally what I mean.
Yeah.
Everyone went crazy over it, and it was AVB's cracking under pressure. There's the stories about him like in tears in his car when he got sacked and things like that. And with Rodgers, I know, but when Rodgers has got sacked,
I suddenly had this image of Barry from EastEnders for some reason.
Yeah,
just sort of weeping in his car.
Poor old Andre. Yeah. Here are five other people that are to blame other than Rodgers.
Yeah,
I think it was Talksport or something like that.
I think Rodgers has had quite a rough ride from the press.
Do you think?
Well, I mean, well, first of all, were they literally just
listing flaws? That's not having a hard time.
Yeah, with the media, is it? They're always. I mean, when I spoke to, I did a Q&A with Ben Pearce for the Tottenham Way.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a great journalist, a really good professional, does local news on Spurs and reports it fairly without sensationalism or a tabloidy spin. He just reports quotes and facts. That's all he deals in. And I said to him, because this is the frustration I have as someone trying to run a blog and trying to make a little bit of money off the blog, which is that basically Pochettino never says anything interesting.
Yeah.
And he can barely speak English, but when he does, it's really boring stuff. And I said to Ben, is that a frustration for you, particularly after Sherwood and Redknapp, who just gave all these sound bites? And he said, it got to the point where it was almost a bit embarrassing writing up press conferences because there was nothing interesting to say. It was embarrassing publishing an article when it was just like, yes, we stick to the philosophy, yes, we want to play a good game, yes, there's nothing here.
Yeah.
And if you imagine that from...
He's playing them at their own game, though, isn't he, Poch?
Yeah, but my point is, if that's from a bloke who doesn't have the pressure to get clicks and who doesn't rely on sensationalism. Imagine how the Daily Mail and the Sun and all these journalists who are desperate for filth and a scoop and a scandal, imagine how annoyed they must be with Pochettino in comparison to Harry and AVB, Harry and Sherwood. And I think AVB's treatment was kind of a result of the fact that Harry had been there before. And he was so good at doing their job for them. He'd just tell them anything they wanted to know. And then AVB comes in, already a bit unpopular at the time at Chelsea, and there was kind of not a cold and not particularly likeable man, I think. And there was this backlash against him.
Well, there was certainly rumours of Sherwood leaking things to the press as well about AVB, just to basically grease the wheels to help things move along in his favour, which, you know, they've
been... Yeah, and in fact, I think that was confirmed by... of all people, Richard Keys. He said something on Twitter like,
he wasn't
Tim Sherwood's just been in the office saying how players are fed up with AVB's double training sessions.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, this is when Sherwood was still at, AVB was still at the club.
Yeah.
It's like,
It seems so just explicit, wasn't it?
But Rodgers, I mean... The problem was he made a rod for his own back with that season.
And then
they are a fifth and sixth place club, and they were probably on course to finish fifth or sixth this season. Really, I mean, maybe Klopp will get them. I don't think he'll get them into fourth place.
No, not with the squad as it is now.
So I think maybe Rodgers did get a bit of a hard time, but certainly nothing compared to AVB.
Yeah, I thought it was just an interesting thing to just to sort of bring up. It just feels like, it's who you're friends with, I suppose, isn't it? And I suppose Rodgers just eventually his position became untenable on a football, a purely football basis.
I mean, who were they playing? Carlisle game.
Yeah.
I think that was it, really.
Yeah, and in Europe as well.
The lack of belief. Yeah, yeah.
At home, they drew. Everton, they were lucky to sort of get a draw. But we're not a Liverpool podcast.
No.
We're, I don't think there's anything more we can say on. Did we actually... We answered the question about who we think Dyer's going to be replaced with, didn't we?
Yeah, I said Mason or Bentaleb.
Yeah.
With maybe with Ali push further forward.
Okay.
So we both agree on Dembele. It'll be really interesting.
It's going to be a decent yardstick for us, because obviously the City games, we tend to pull these games out of our arse every so often, like the Chelsea game last season as well. And I just think that it's against a team that has had everything for the last... I think I've worked it out a few times. Since we beat them 2-1 at White Hart Lane in AVB's first season, we've lost 5 and conceded 19 in those games and only scored about 4, I think, or maybe 5.
Yeah.
It's horrible. We've had a horrible run against it, and we did exactly the same to them a little while ago. We used to turn them over at home. We turned them over at home nearly every year for about 5 years.
Yeah, the pleasing thing about the City game was we had been absolutely ruined by it. Pretty much, their City squad hasn't changed much in the last few years, so it was pretty much that team had dished out those four or five beatings over the last two
seasons.
Yeah,
certainly Aguero.
Yeah, and it's led by Aguero. Mm. And even though we went a goal down, there wasn't any obvious signs that was playing on all the players' minds.
Yeah.
Which might be something to do with having these young, fearless guys like Ali and Dyer who... Yeah, I mean, they're not old enough for stuff to really get in their heads, I suppose.
Yeah.
And hopefully that can be the same against Liverpool.
Well, I think the only players that would have been around at the time, as in playing, would be Walker and Lawrence, wouldn't it? Maybe
Well, Eriksen. I mean, last season there were two. There were two spankings as well. 3-0 and 3-2, wasn't it?
Yeah. But even last season, I think... Yeah.
Walker, Lawrence, Vertonghen... Maybe Eriksen.
There's enough there to be motivated, certainly, but hopefully there's no mental.
Danny Rose, defensive midfield.
Did it for Sunderland, didn't they? Wow.
That's going to let left field call.
Ben Davies. All right, let's move on to listener questions. I think that was actually a pretty good preview for us.
Yeah.
It's not like us at all, it was very thorough. Listener questions. We've only got a few this week, which actually worked out quite nicely. Sean, at SeanWalsh_97, how worried are you by Kane's form? Do you think he's...
I'm not worried.
No.
At all. It's something I said, I think I said it on last week's pod. It's very easy to... I always do this. I always kind of say really rational stuff in the pub, in between games, stuff like, oh, Kane hasn't got a lot of support, it's going to be harder for him this year, he's going to be tired, he's got a lot of pressure on him, let's not expect too much. And then during the heat of the game, I'm like, fucking Kane, why aren't you scoring? But all that stuff that we said the day after the... In fact, we said it at the end of last season, and again, after the transfer window shut, we hadn't signed a striker, which is that he's probably not going to score 31 goals.
No.
Well, he's definitely... go so far as he's definitely not going to do that again, because that was a freak season. But
yeah.
I'm still pretty confident he's going to get 15-odd, maybe 20 in all competitions.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, definitely. Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Well, he's going to get the game time for a start.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think
he's probably going to play 50-odd matches this season.
We've scored... I think in the league, we've scored 10 now. And Kane's only got one of them. So,
and we've got a lot of different scorers.
That's what I was about to say. You know, Dyer's got two, Lamella's got one, Eriksen's now got two, Chadley's got one, Alderweireld got one. Mason got one. We're not short by any stretch, are we? Of goal scorers, we're not going to have Dyer scoring and Alderweireld scoring every week, but the goals are being shared around, and Kane is playing well at the same time. So, I don't think there's any cause for it. If he gets to December and he's scored one goal,
then it's
out on his arse after 70 minutes every game, then maybe. But I don't think there's any cause for alarm.
And just to add to that, the attacking three, now Lamella's starting to add goals, which is really pleasing. Mm. There are a lot of goals in Chadley, Eriksen, Lamella and Son.
Yeah.
Those four could all, depending on game time. I mean, last season, Chadley and Eriksen, I think, finished over double figures for the Premier League.
Weren't we the only team?
Yeah, we were the only team with three players. I think we were the only one. This season, maybe Lamella... I mean, I'm not sure Chadley will do it again, but maybe Lamella could do it and Son could do it.
Son certainly looks like he's capable of doing it.
Yeah, we could have a lot of... Rather than having one guy on 31 goals and the next person on 10, we could end up with a kind of 12, 11, 8, 7...
Be nice.
...sort of scoring charts, which would be quite nice. It's sort of sharing...
When you look at the years of, Bale, obviously just... sort of flew on his own, and we had absolutely nothing around him. And then from then on, we didn't really have that talismanic scorer until Kane. And then we got Kane, or rather, Kane sort of came to prominence. And then that summer, we got rid of two other strikers, and he's our only striker. And so the onus became very different. It wasn't just who's going to step up. It is, you've stepped up and now please can you stay there, because otherwise we're really screwed. The land has changed. But I'm not in any way alarmed by Kane's form. Jamie at BX Stock. Why does Andros Townsend insist on being Andros Townsend? He wasn't great. Well, this is mixed on Twitter, actually, when he came on. He wasn't great. He didn't make the sort of impact that you'd want, like he did against Sunderland.
Yeah.
He did very much what he always does, which is kind of leave the ball behind a couple of times, cut inside, have a shot. And he did have a shot on target, which the keeper saved, and it was swerving all over the place. And it could have gone in on another day. But it's just the decision making that's still lacking for Townsend. Did you see any of it on the highlights?
I don't think I saw him once on the highlights.
Yeah.
Maybe the shot. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Fighting Cock pod with Troy Townsend.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. And I wrote up some of the quotes he did. Sorry, some of the things he said, rather. And one of the things he spoke at length about was the injury Townsend had that ruled him out of the 2014 World Cup.
Yeah.
And how, I know that's now two summers ago, but how it was a lot worse than people realised, and how it took him a long time to come back from that, and it affected his game quite a lot. I do think that was a hell of a long time ago now, but it was just interesting because that's the kind of thing you don't often... It's the kind of thing you easily forget. Like, I've long since forgotten about that injury.
Yeah.
And the sort of mental and physical scars that came of missing out on the World Cup, having helped England get there. It was interesting. I mean, I think Townsend, it's getting to the point a little bit where, you know how Pochettino said it's make or break for the
Mela?
Yeah. I feel like because he's homegrown and because he is one of us, he's going to get more time, and he has been given a bit more time and patience than the Mela, but it's definitely getting to a point where, yes, he's had problems, yes, he's had injuries, yes, he's been in and out of the team, but...
We can't keep waiting for a bus that might not come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's my problem with him. I'm not a huge Townsend fan. It was interesting, and I did have a sort of renewed sympathy for him after that Troy Townsend.
Yeah, I mean, it's episode. Really worth listening to.
And, you know, I'm not going to go on Twitter and at him directly, like... You would. He's just done, you know. Although I've actually got years and years ago, or not, probably a couple of years ago, there was a picture of Andros Townsend shooting in training, and Tottenham, the Twitter site, did the "Here's Andros taking a shot in training," and I replied with, presumably this was during passing practice, and if you get the first comment on a Spurs official thing, and you get like 80 faves or something like that. It was like that, but Townsend apparently sort of got wind of it, and then the next time Spurs did it and said, "Oh, here's Andros taking a shot in training," like months later, and he was like, "I'm going to get so much crap for this, lads," like as a response to Spurs official.
Yeah, I did see that.
And I was like, starting to weave myself in there, am I, Andros? No, but obviously that's a joke, but it's frustrating with Townsend, and But, you know, Lamella turned it round, so maybe if a run of games for Townsend is exactly what he needs. But I said a couple of weeks ago as well, do you remember we had a very brief conversation on Tom Carroll and said how he technically is in the same age group as people like Kane, but he just came through really early in those Redknapp years and was thrown to the wolves in those Europa League games that Harry just threw. He went on all these loans, and now he's suddenly back and he's on the bench all the time because of lack of numbers. And I feel like Townsend is a victim of that as well, a little bit, in that he's from that same age group and he was put into the first team pretty early. And he's never had that explosive moment like Kane had, but he's been around for quite a long time now, Townsend. And I just feel like the fact that he's been around for longer than some of the other guys, Mason and Bentaleb and that, he's falling foul of people's opinions, my own as well, probably included. I feel like I've had 5 years of waiting for Townsend to do something, and you see him go.
Yeah,
on
I mean, if you, you, yeah, I mean, a good example would be Pritchard. I mean, if he doesn't get started this season, no one's going to be on his back if he has a load of bad cameos. But yeah, that's because he's, we see him as new and fresh and young, but he's probably about the same age as Townsend.
I think he's 20.
I think he's 22 and Townsend's 23 or 24. Right, so there is a slight difference, but I see what you mean. I think it's a good point.
Yeah. Perhaps. But he's not likely to change, is he? So, let's do the final question. Jim at Stylish Riot, who seems to be winning the final question competitions at the moment because he's asking good ones. Whose free kicks do you think are better, Bale or Eriksen? I presume this is Spurs Bale and not Real Madrid Bale, if you know what I mean.
That's hard.
Eriksen.
Yeah, I think Eriksen.
Do you know what I really liked about Eriksen's, particularly his first one? Last season, a lot of them were kind of floated, but were so accurate and just had that right amount of swerve. I think it was against West Brom, where Foster gets a massive hand on it.
Oh, yeah.
But he's already on the floor, because it just really deceives him. And obviously things like the Sheffield United one as well, which was just incredible.
I think with Eriksen, he always picks his spot and he knows where he's going to put it.
Well, that's what I was going to say about the first. I think it looked for all the world that he was going to try and bend it over and do exactly that he's done for every other free kick that he's had for us and had great success in.
Yeah, but Fabianski took two steps thinking he was going in the top corner, and then it goes to the other one.
It was like a Bale hit. It was off the instep and it sort of went, it was very central and just went away. Yeah. It wasn't in the corner, but it just deceived the keeper enough. And I really liked it because he's mixing it up. And if you're a goalkeeper facing Eriksen anyway, you're not going to fancy yourself, you know, 100% of the time. Yeah. Especially now when you look, and it's what Bale did actually. Bale did a couple of times where he used to be much more like Beckham, like a sort of a sideways runner.
I mean, didn't Bale
curl it? But
didn't, Bale scored a cracking free kick against Arsenal in his first season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, round the wall,
which was a proper curler.
Yeah,
and then he was injured and out of the team for all that time, and then when he came, then when his like amazing, unbelievable season. Mm. Was when he was doing the sort of the
Ronaldo
side foot Ronaldo technique. Yeah,
He scored one against Liverpool, one against Newcastle, and two against Lyon, all within the space of about a month.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah,
I think I know what you mean about Eriksen mixing up, but I feel like Bale's free kicks were based more on that technique, like hitting the valve, hitting it clear. Whatever. Apparently, it's hit the valve. I don't know if it's bollocks. But hitting the ball, hitting it cleanly, and then getting enough movement on it.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like Eriksen is like, I'm putting this in the top corner. There's nothing. And so for that convoluted, nonsensical reason, I'm going to pick Eriksen.
Yeah, I'm going to go Eriksen as well. I've always felt with Bale as well, is that if you get it wrong, it looks really stupid.
Mm.
But with Eriksen, you do feel like everything's so deliberate with it.
Yeah,
much more deliberate, and you know, both techniques take a lot of skill and training, and just work at it constantly at the training ground. But there's something just a bit nice about watching Eriksen run up to a free kick. Gives you a completely different dimension, because before Bale, when was the last time we actually scored a free kick?
It's probably Jenas or someone.
I think it was.
Kyle Walker has hit a couple of beauties.
That's
randomly.
True.
Van der Vaart.
Do you remember when Cabal used to take our free kicks?
Oh,
it used
dark.
To be tapped to him and he'd fire it. And
the lack of imagination in doing that.
If it worked once. If it had worked once, I'd be going, well, you never know.
Yeah.
It might work again. It never, ever, ever worked. He always used to hit the board around the side that said...
The game is about glory.
He used to hit the O of glory pretty much every time.
Eriksen is... He's the best free kick taker in the Premier League, and that is such a weapon to have.
Yeah.
And
when you look at people...
It is a sort of reason to get Townsend on the pitch.
I was going to say, that kind of
player, within 10 minutes to go, if you know that if you can get a free kick around the box, Spurs have... Well, it's not quite like a penalty, but it's not far off. Like, we've got a good chance of scoring it.
It's like huge. Lamella taking it round Demichelis last week. You know, drawing the foul. Demichelis should have been sent off, but immediately we've got probably a better chance than one that if Lamella had stayed on his feet and carried on with
Lamella
the ball.
Lamella kept going. Yeah.
Yeah. maybe that's it. Maybe they'll just stand off him. But yeah, it's certainly something to give defenders something to think about. I think that's it. We can wrap this up. You were looking at the running order. I was expecting you to. I thought you might have added something.
Just checking there's nothing else. No, I have nothing to add.
Wicked. We've got the international break. We'll probably meet up next week and do.
What we could do, what we talked about, is we might just do a pod where we talk about teams of the past.
Yeah.
After doing that?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to go.
Talk about Harry's Tottenham.
I think we should do Harry's story, because.
Okay.
Or the Tottenham story with Harry. That'd be a good hour.
I'm up for that.
That'd be a good discussion.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, guys. If you've got any questions, or you know, if you've got any thoughts that you think that should be read out on that one, we're going to do the Harry years, 2008 to 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Tottenham Way podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.